Praise the Lord. One more time, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate you tonight. Where to begin? Your pastor this morning opened his message with, "Be thankful, Brother Jamie's not preaching on music." And jokingly, when I left this morning, I told him he preached with kid gloves on. But no, he really actually did a very good job giving you a good foundation of, and I'll say it like this, to build on, because there's so much more that can be said about music and I suppose I would have gotten in all kinds of trouble, but it's hard to talk about music without talking first about discernment. And Debbie said, "Well, you can just finish that up tonight." I'm like, "Well, I have to obey the Lord." And so there's something else that we're going to be talking about tonight. The other day, I was seeking the Lord, and I was in my study. And I've told you before, for a minister of the gospel, sometimes messages come very quickly. Sometimes you have to wrestle a while. Sometimes you feel like heaven is brass. And I had been studying and praying for some hours and just couldn't get a feel for the direction that the Lord would have me to go. And so, as I normally do when I run into brass, I go sit down. And I went in my living room and I sat down and was listening to some YouTube videos with gospel music on them. And I've had enough conversations about gospel music. I'm careful to call Christian music. Because what most people understand as Christian music, I wouldn't give them a dime for it. But anyway, that's another message for another time. But I was sitting there, and I don't know, I suppose maybe 45 minutes to an hour went by. And it had nothing to do with the song that was being sung. But my heart and my spirit was already stayed upon the Lord. And that's part of how I wait on the Lord. And just as clear as somebody walking into the room and beginning to speak to you, the Lord spoke very clearly, very plainly. And His phrase that He spoke to me, one I've thought about many times and have talked about in bits and pieces here and there, but maybe not quite so the way that we're going to do it tonight. And I'll try not to hold you long, but I really don't pay attention to the time when I start preaching, so I don't know if that's hope for you or not. Such sarcasm. But the Lord spoke to me very plainly. And His phrase was this: we are in a war. And I know that covers a lot of area, and it covers a lot of different things of our daily lives in and out. And I'll just leave it right there to marinate a little bit. We are in a warfare. Plain and simple. We, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to own up to it or not, whether you want to have the proper mindset. We've got a couple of veterans in the building tonight. Brother Dakota can tell you that before you engage in any kind of warfare, you've got to have the right mindset. And when the Lord spoke this to me, of course, I nod and understanding. I know exactly what He's talking about to a point. But then the Lord began to dig while I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden it was like I was under house arrest. I was just sitting there. And line upon line and precept upon precept, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. We are at war over everything in our life. There is nothing in your life, in my life, that the enemy does not want to touch. We talked this morning about music. There is a war about music. There is a war about our children. There is a war about our family members. There is a war about our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a war that is going on even in the church world, if I can use that term. But there is great warfare. And the Lord reminded me that in the last days that the enemy would be attacking with greater ferocity because he knows his time is short. And I'm afraid, according to what the Lord is telling me anyway, we are losing sight of what we are here to do. We are losing sight of what the Lord, through His Holy Scriptures, has encouraged us to engage in. And so I want to talk just for a few minutes about those things tonight and just give you what the Lord gave me, and then we'll call it good. But I want you to open your Bibles to an Old Testament book of 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel immediately follows 1 Samuel. And it is in between 1 Kings. When you found that, you know, I'm going to have you stand for the reading of the Lord's Word tonight. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, verses 22 to 25. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22 to 25. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come up on them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then shalt thou bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba unto Gezer. Bow your heads with me for a moment. Father, we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. And it is in that guise that we stand here tonight. Lord, I am your servant. You put this word in my spirit. You spoke to me sitting in my living room. I know this is from you. And I just pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon the Word of Almighty God tonight, and that you will speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits exactly the Word that you would have. Nothing from me, nothing from my flesh, nothing from my mindset, Lord, but purely as the Holy Spirit leads in this Scripture tonight. Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask it. And everyone said amen. And amen. You may be seated. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil..." I'm going to read that again. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil..." When you're in warfare, you've got an adversary. When you're in warfare, you've got an enemy. "Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I am a firm believer in these last days that we are going to fight the good fight of faith, that we need to know who our enemy is. And I want you to notice right at the very beginning that the Scripture says that our adversary is the devil. The adversary is not your wife or your husband. Your adversary is not your children. Your adversary is not your parents. Your adversary is not your local government. Your adversary is not your state government. Your adversary is not your national government. Your adversary is not your boss on the job. Your adversary is not your coworker that you work with on the job. But the Bible very clearly and very plainly tells us that our adversary is the devil. We need to know who our enemy is. He is the devil. He is Satan. He is Lucifer. There are other adjectives that we give for him. Shrewdfoot. There are other names that we use. He is our enemy. He is our adversary. He uses wiles. What are wiles? Wiles are cunning craftiness or deceitful manipulations. He uses snares. Snares are traps and or pitfalls that cause to ensnare or cause the downfall. We know that he has works. Works of darkness. Works of evil. He has contentions. Boy, does he have contentions. He gives temptations. And the Bible says that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is, in fact, the father of all lies, according to none other than Jesus Christ. He oppresses. He is the oppressor. Sometimes he possesses. He corrupts all things good and righteous. I'm going to say that again. He corrupts all things good and righteous. He is a master twister that seeks to cause fear and doubt in the minds and the hearts of believers worldwide. He is the hindrance to our obedience unto God. He is the thief. He is the robber of our true worship in spirit and in truth unto the Lord. He enslaves with his wiles and his snares. I want to say that again. He enslaves with his wiles and his snares. And the bait is always sin. He is fully engaged in spiritual warfare. And he fights dirty. He fights the truth. He fights the way. He fights the life. He is, in fact, the master deceiver. He is the false teacher. He is the false preacher. He is the false prophet. He is the king of all counterfeit. For he counterfeits all things spiritual. He is a hunter. The Bible says he hunts the precious life. So if you're being chased by the enemy, you're in good company. I know our mindset doesn't believe that. It doesn't think that way. But if you are being hunted by the devil, then you are in good company. He devours with ferociousness. He devours with ferociousness, constantly looking for the moment of weakness. He is the enemy of the Son of God. He is cunning. He embodies all things evil. He's in our government. He's in our jobs. He's in our families. He's in our homes. And yes, he's even in our churches. And it's high time that we, the people of God, wake up and be aware and be sober in all of our surroundings. I've never in my life ever seen such a church as we are faced with tonight. And I don't mean any offense to anybody. Those of you that know me, you know I just tell it the way it is. But we have never been faced with such a weak, contemptible, sissified body of believers who are fretful at every turn, wringing their hands, weak-kneed. I hear things all the time, and I know the people mean well, but they should hear themselves. The way they come across sometimes, it's like, "My Lord, are you sure you're even saved?" They give so much credit, and they give so much sway, and they give so much power to the enemy of their soul, it's a wonder they're able to get up of a morning. You might think that I've come by tonight to rattle your cage and be, and I certainly don't ever want to be condemnatory in anything that I say, but I've not come to browbeat you or beat you down with telling you all of these terrible things that your enemy is. I just want you to know what you're dealing with. And I know that even though you're sitting here tonight and I'm talking about the church, and I will say it with my head looking at the floor with no eye contact with anybody in here, I know that I have heard things even from people in this church that make me scratch my head and wonder to myself, what in the world kind of God are they serving? I don't know how we got to this point. I suppose it's a long laundry list of reasons to how we got to this point. But we are in such a weak and emaciated condition, spiritually speaking, before the Lord, that I hear phrases such as, "Well, you know, I guess all we can do now is just pray." What a terrible thing to say. It's not all that you can do now. It's not like you've exhausted everything else there is, and the only thing left that you have to lean on is maybe getting away somewhere and getting a little bit of prayer. No, you don't understand. The Bible tells me that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That tells me that the enemy, no matter what it is that he has going on, and no matter what it is that he's trying to do in your life, the last thing in this world that you need to do, it's not prayer. Prayer is need to be the first thing that you do. Because when we pray, and when we kneel ourselves before our Maker, and we resign ourselves to the fact that we do not have the ability, and we do not have the strength to match with what the devil is putting out there. But when we come before the Lord and we tell Him, "You are my first turn. You're the first one that I'm going to. You're not the last thing on my list. I'm not going to call Mom and Aunt Sarah and all these other people and find out what they think first. But I am going to do as David did when he was faced with the enemy. He turned aside and he inquired of the Lord." It's long past time you and I get out of our weak-kneed, sissy condition and learn to seek the Lord. The first turn we make is call upon the name of our God, because there is power in the name of our God, and there is hope in His words. And we serve a God. We talked about it the other day. He is the God who hears prayers. And I don't care what the devil says. If you're serving the Lord and you lift up the slightest little voice in prayer, God hears your prayer. I feel that in my spirit. I'm getting a little riled. I am tired of the enemy riding roughshod over God's people. I am tired of the enemy riding roughshod over the churches. And I've heard it all my life. As young as I am, they've called me old-fashioned since I was wet behind the ears and started preaching. I don't know what they were talking about. All I knew is what God said to preach, and that's what I preach. And I know what God says to sing, and that's what I sing. And I'm not the best. I know that. I got a long way to go. But I know one thing. I'll fight you tooth and claw. If you're going to try to stop me from doing what the Lord has asked of me to do. What are you saying? I'm saying I'm tired of hearing how great the enemy is and how weak your God is. I'm tired of hearing of how deep and dark the trouble is, and how, listen, I'm not fooling anybody up here tonight. I know that our troubles are very real, and I know the weight that they carry. and I understand the pain and the suffering that is involved in having to endure some of these trials and some of these afflictions that we are able to go through. But one day, and I believe this is going to happen, one day we're going to wake up and realize that the issue that we're faced with is really not the problem and the trial and the adversary and the things that are going on, but the real thing that we're faced with is the fact that we don't know who our God is. Because if you knew who your God was, the problem and the trial wouldn't be your focus. How to obey the Lord would be your focus. I say it, but I'm not. We get all bent out of shape because things, and I know it's financial things, it's health, it's problems on the job, it's problems in our world, and every time we turn around, the enemy is there to greet us with a new problem and a new difficulty. But listen, it's long past time that you and I stand up and begin to be accounted for. It's time we begin to let the world know that we're not serving some weak Jesus, and we've tried everything else, and well, we just don't know what else to do but pray. Oh, no. Somewhere along the line, we're going to run into a buzzsaw. Somebody by the name of Cooley or somebody by the name of Ferber that happens to believe that our God sits in the heavens. And the Bible says He has done whatsoever He has pleased. He speaks the word and the world comes into existence. He says, let there be light, and there is light. He says, let there be form in the world, and there is form in the world. He says, let there be man, and there is man. I'm telling you tonight that we can go to a God that made it all with His hand and by His word, and nothing that was made is made except that God did it. I was going to try to be short. I was reminded of a song that we used to sing in choir, and when churches were still Pentecostal and still believed in Sunday night choirs. Oh man, those were the best. And the Lord brought it back to my memory. It's been so long now, but I was singing in this choir, and I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket back then, and I had no business singing, but you just try to stop me. And I was in this singing, and I didn't know what parts to sing or nothing like that. All I know is when the Spirit of God moved on me, just a young man and younger. So you get that later. And we were. It was a Sunday night, and you could feel the Spirit. It was like a palpitation in the air. You could just sense the Spirit of God was moving. And the choir started to sing this little ditty, this little song called "Jesus Will Hear Me When I Pray." And I guess my logs just weren't wet yet. They were still dry and a little kindling there. And when the Spirit of the Lord began to move, just a flame of fire would burst up in me. And I didn't know any better. Still don't know any better. And we'd get to singing that song, and that song, "For Jesus will hear me when I pray, if I will obey and believe. The Lord has promised many blessings that I shall receive. For Jesus will hear me." I feel it now. When I pray. I think they were getting near to be done with the song, but I wasn't done. Something got a hold of me on the inside. And I become to the realization in the middle of singing that song somewhere that we pray to a God that hears our prayers. And how powerful and important that was. And so with every ounce of energy that I had in me, I would shout that song. I would sing that song. Holy Ghost would come on me and my feet would begin to move. And I didn't have no idea where they were going. I just followed along. And before long, the Spirit of God began to move in that place. And before long, people began to fall down on their knees. People began to seek the Lord. They began to cry out to this God that we were talking about. For Jesus will hear me when I pray. It's like giving the devil a black eye, because he doesn't want you to believe that when you kneel down and pray, that you serve a God that will hear every word that you say, and He will lay it to heart. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and He will hear you when you pray.
And so the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. We are not fighting flesh and blood. We are not fighting the bureaucracy of the Assemblies of God. We are not fighting the bureaucracy of the Church of God or the Four Square or the Church of God in Christ. We're not fighting any of them. Our warfare is not with them. Our warfare is not with our boss. Our warfare is not with our spouse. No matter what they say. No matter what they... Do you hear me? Listen to me tonight. We want to make an enemy out of every flesh and blood person that comes and crosses our path in a wrong way. But they're not our enemy. I got family members that say things I'd like to jack slap them. You don't know what that is. Come talk to me after service. Well, I wonder what in the world you were raised in the same home that I was raised in. Why are you so stupid? And I hear things like that. You have to go to the Lord and you have to say, Lord, now you got to help me see beyond what they're saying and beyond what they're doing and come to the realization that really it's not that flesh and blood numbskull that's talking to me over here, but there is a spirit that is behind them that is driving it all. It is the spirit of darkness. It is the spirit of your enemy. It is your adversary that is just simply using them as a mouth tool most of the time. So when we fight, we do not fight with the flesh and the blood. But we fight with principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. So how do we do it if our weapons are not of warfare? If our weapons of warfare are not carnal, that means they're not fleshly. That means you can't go, you go into my bedroom, you're going to find guns and knives and everything else. I might be telling a little too much, I don't know. I just like those kinds of things. You'll just have to pray for me. That's all. And you go in, different. I got them all throughout the house, guns and knives anyway. And you can go in and you can handle them and you can start envisioning to yourself. I'm a sucker for the old Roman gladiator things, and I got a few swords that are along that line, and I just have always gravitated to those kinds of things. And you can do that, and you begin to envision, I know a couple of people I'd like to take a swing or two at. And before long, you have to be able to go to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I need you to help me look past that person that is standing there saying what they're saying. And I need you to help me look past that individual that is doing whatever it is that they're doing, good, bad, or indifferent, Lord, and help me, give me eyes to see, Lord, that I might understand that it is a spirit of the enemy that is behind them, that is causing them to say that, that is causing them to do that. It's not just the person. Is the person wrong? Sure, they're wrong. Do they need dealt with? Oh, they sure do need dealt with. But it's not for you and I to deal with them in that plane. It is for the Spirit of the Lord God to deal with them in that plane. We have to deal with the power and the principality that is behind them. And we have to be able to say, Lord, I don't know what's driving them to get under my skin today, but help me realize that it's just the enemy, that it's just the adversary, and I've got to get my mind on Christ Jesus because I cannot fight Him alone. So you're going to have to come and you're going to have to be the God that hears my prayers, and you're going to have to give me wisdom and understanding and help me to be able to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life and to bring, listen to me, and to bring down strongholds. The enemy wants you weak. He wants you to feel like you don't have it, and even though in your physicalness you don't, still, we have a power that they do not have, and the enemy does not want you to know about it. And it comes from that little verse of Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my flesh, I cannot go against the wiles of the devil. In my flesh, I cannot fight him when he brings out his big guns. But all I got to do is go into prayer to a God that hears my prayer and whisper the name of Jesus and begin to call on my Lord. And he will come and he will stand by my side. He will fight. He will fight. He will fight our battles. not in my notes, but Ephesians 5 talks about all of this garb, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It talks about, and it's not a physical armor. I know preachers that tried to tell us back in the day, you need to go and buy these things. I bought those things just because I love Roman gladiators. They didn't care about no put on no suit or nothing. And you need to practice that every day. And you need to tell yourself when you put on your little helmet, listen, throw that stuff in the garbage bin. Do you hear me? The helmet is to guard your mind. First entry to the battleground. The helmet of salvation is to guard your mind. So our warfare begins in the mind. And in your mind, I wouldn't trust anything. But when you get in you the mind of Christ Jesus, I'm feeling this more than you're hearing it. And our mind is protected. You know, Pastor talked about how some of the songs, they cause you to think things. You know, music gets, and you begin to visualize. And the enemy wants to start in your mind and cause you to believe that you're as weak as you think you are. And he wants you to believe that you're as defeated as you think you are. And he wants you to believe that you are as powerless as you think you are. But he's come too late to tell me any such thing. Because the Bible tells me that in my greatest weakness, the Lord is made strong. And my Bible tells me that all of that garb that I put on, the helmet and the breastplate and the loins girt about and the feet shod with the preparation of the garb, all of those things, that's God's armor. I need you to think about this for a minute. So no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, I can come to a God that hears my prayer and He gives me His armor. Picture this from the enemy's standpoint for just a second. A minute ago, they were calling on the name of the Lord. Now they come out to battle and they look like Him. I need you to get that down in your spirit. Because when you're wearing the armor of the Lord, you look like Him. Because all of the armor is of Him. You look like Him, you stand like Him, you walk like Him. And God help us to learn how to talk like He does. And we come out there and the enemy hears. And then he sees. And instead of him manipulating your feelings, you begin to manipulate his feelings. No, you didn't hear me. No, you didn't hear me. You're still walking in your weakness. I'm trying to tell you, you've got to get out of your mindset. And you've got to believe that you are greater than what you really are. You got to believe that you are more than what you see in the mirror. You got to believe that there is more to you than what comes out of your mouth. God help us, yes. And we have to learn to believe that in Christ Jesus, I might not look like much, but I am a mighty warrior under the Lord because I know where my strength lies. Are there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Isn't that what the Bible said? What else did it say? It said they'll anoint him with oil. There's an art we've gotten away from. Because the enemy, like everything else he gets his hands on, he corrupts it. And pretty soon you got people sprinkling oil on everything and everybody, and that's not what God intended it for at all. I haven't got time to go into that, but the anointing oil was something very, very, very special. It was something that was made, and God said that when you make this, you don't use it for any other purpose. You don't use it for cooking in the home. You don't use it for any other event. You don't use it for any other thing that is going on. It is separate. It is set aside. It is the anointing oil. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's the anointing oil that breaks the yoke. You're sick in your body, and you need God to heal you. I know that we prayed a lot, and I know we still pray, and we believe the Lord. But don't be afraid to obey the scriptures that says, call for the elders of the church, and let them anoint
anoint you with oil and lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith, because the prayer of faith will raise the sick from their bed of affliction. Do you hear the words that I am saying to you tonight? Don't feel like you're invading somewhere when you come before the church and you say, I need prayer. All you're saying is, I'm not able to handle this and I need something greater than what I am. And I need the elders of the church to come together and I need them to be in the right frame of mind and I need them to be able to touch God for me. And when they pray, they had better pray the prayer of faith. You've heard me say it before. Ain't nothing I can stand worse than people that come up to pray for somebody else and they ain't got enough faith to... I'm going to give you an example. My daughter lives in Dallas-Fort Worth area, Texas. Her and her husband and their three kids. And it's a single income home. He trains airline pilots and things along that line. And it pays pretty good, but it's just gets them by. So if anything starts to go wrong, it's usually duck or puckers. And we got to figure out how to wrangle this or wrangle that to make things work. And I know they're not the only ones in that position, are they? And sometimes when you're young, you don't make the smartest decisions. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with it. And so they've got two cars. They got one car that has all the baby seats in them because they have a 2-year-old and a twin set of 1-year-olds. And God have mercy. And so that they've got the car. And then Adam drives this little piece of junk Ford. And I haven't got time to go there. Found on the roadside, dead, whatever you want to call it. I've never known a good Ford. I take that back. There was a Mustang once that... Anyway, he had this little Ford that he drives back and forth to work, and so it's his main transportation, and everything in the world started going wrong with that thing. And nothing's cheap anymore. And it happened all at one time. And all of these things that go wrong, you know, and it would be so easy for people to fall apart. And to say, well, good Lord, you don't know what the world we're going to do. We, you know, just, you know, we're making it, but we're just barely making it now. And there ain't no way in the world they can afford, you know, especially a Ford. And so they're going to fix this. If you drive a Ford here, I'm sorry. And what are we going to do? And I can see in my mind's eye, I've got other family members that would start wringing their hands. Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But I didn't hear that out of them. I heard the problem. I heard the nature of the problem. And it abandoned him. He was on his way somewhere to work or something. And it died on just on the side of the road. And just completely dead. And so there's a number of things, expensive things, that fix that little piece of junk. And what are they going to do? I'm telling you something here tonight. We serve a God that hears us when we pray. And it was a late in the evening when I heard this. And so I'm getting up for work the next morning. And I'm up before dawn every day to go to work. And I'm driving down the road. And I have my personal time of prayer every morning in that pickup truck as I drive down the road. And I begin my prayer with, now, Lord, I've been down this road before. I know all about car troubles. And I know all about Ford. And, Lord, I know they're a long ways away from me. And there's not a whole lot that I can really do right now, Lord, to be able to resolve that situation. And I reminded him, I said, Lord, I've been reading and I heard that you were the God that hears prayers. And I've known that all my life. I've seen you work miracles at other people. Listen to me. Before a full day had gone by, word had reached their pastor of their church where they were just starting being youth ministers there. And it just so happens, this is how God works. It just so happens there's a man in the congregation that owns an auto shop. And so whatever they did, they redirected this piece of junk over to this guy's auto shop, and they gave word to Adam and Tiffany that said, you know what, we're going to do a full diagnostics on this thing. We're going to look it over from head to toe, but we don't want you to worry about not one thing, because the church is going to pay for everything no matter what it is. And I so appreciate a church that will do things like that, but you got to understand, I'm not here to give accolades to the church. I'm here to give accolades to God. Because we pray to a God that hears our prayers. And a God that hears our prayers. And we had faith that God was going to do something. He was going to move mountains. I didn't know how he was going to. I didn't have no idea he was going to be blank check time. I got questions. And I didn't have no idea. But how I rejoiced in my spirit. And it's like you could hear the Holy Spirit when I first heard word that the church was going to take care of them and was going to provide everything that they needed for that vehicle, and everything was going to be paid for. They weren't going to have to worry about a thing. You don't know what a blessing that is. I got to tell you. And but then I'm walking in this place where I go to get alone with the Lord, and I can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit over my shoulder saying, see? The enemy wanted you to wring your hands. The enemy wanted you to fret and worry and be all tied up in knots on the inside, wondering how things were going to come together. But when you pray to a God who hears, He also answers, and He has taken care of this. And I'm here tonight to serve notice on all of hell that I serve a God who hears me when I pray. And if I will believe, the Lord has promised that He would provide everything I had need of. That's rare. Probably my favorite Old Testament character, if I can use that term, man of God. Man of God like few others. David. David who knew his share of troubles. David said in the Psalm 3, but Thou, O Lord, Thou art a shield for me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. I laid me down and I slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about. David also said in Psalm 7, he said, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. He said in Psalm 33, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according to the hope we have in You. Oh, that's a good word there. David said in Psalm 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear Him and delivereth them. He said in Psalm 120, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul, and the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Did you hear that in your spirit? I don't have to worry about what the enemy's got planned. I don't have to worry about what he's got going on, because the Lord said he's going to preserve me as I come in. He's going to preserve me as I go out. When I lay down, when I get up, I am preserved by our Lord. That's good stuff. You just got to give me a moment. That's just good stuff. Brings to my mind things. Shouting sounds. In case you didn't know it, that's an old song. Shouting sounds. It's place on higher ground. One by one they've overcome. Laid their crosses down. At Jesus' feet, there's joy complete. Praise God, that's where I'm bound. Oh, I can hardly wait to enter the gate. Don't you hear those shouting sounds? You're not ready for that old stuff. Sorry, it's in my mind. I got to get it out. Verses of that says, my old granddaddy, from his dying bed, called the children up to his side. He said, don't you weep, don't you cry for me. Wipe the tears from your eyes. For I'm leaving soon from this old room. And praise God, I'm glory bound. Well, I can hardly wait to enter the gate. Don't you hear those shouting sounds? Tim, I'd tell you to get that down and learn it, but I've told you that 100 times before. The Philistines camped around David. And the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. I was listening to all the testimonies tonight, and there's something that stood out to me, and I hope you won't be embarrassed when I say this, but something you said, Sister Dee Dee, resonated in my spirit. It's when she said, but I don't want to get ahead of the Holy Spirit. She's faced with this problem, with this Charlene or whoever it is, but she wants to wait on God to get God's direction. I can't tell you how big that is. David was faced with a big problem, and the enemy had surrounded him. And David was quite used to inquiring of the Lord. He would do that every time. And the Lord would always say, go and defeat your enemy, and I've already delivered them into your hand. But this time God said, no. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God spoke to David and said, nope, I want you to wait. I got a plan for you to come up behind him. I love it when God talks that way, as if he needed to come up behind anybody. Some of you will get that later when you think about it. And he said, but David, what I want you to do, he was teaching David something. And so, as teaching David, he's teaching us tonight. He said, David, I want you to go and I want you to stand, or you and all of your men, over by the mulberry trees. And you wait. And you don't move a muscle until you hear the sound. He said, and when you hear the sound of a going. I don't know if you know what that is. That's a type of the Holy Spirit. But when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, you know that's a type of the Spirit. Well, because the Bible tells me in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You don't know whether he's coming or whether he's going. But he told David, he said, you go and stand by those trees until you hear that sound. And when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the... Put it in today's language. When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, to David it was in the tops of the mulberry trees. But we have progressed in our relationship with God since Calvary. And the curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. Rent.
thereby providing access to everybody to come to God. And we don't have to wait by mulberry trees anymore, but we do still have to wait. And if we will wait on Him, Sister Dede, we will wait on Him. He will move. He will speak. I get frustrated because there's so many churches that talk about revival and there's a little stirring here and a little stirring there, and so easily they slap the name of revival on and it's lost its prominence, it's lost its power. And they fizzle out and hadn't been revival or hardly nothing. I thank God for every little bit of thing He does. But listen to me, people. God wants to do so much more than what you've laid eyes on. God wants to do so much more than what you've imagined in your own heart. God wants to do so much more. But He cannot work through a people who will not wait on Him. There's been times I've told the Lord, this would be a good service. You know, just kind of jump right in and do whatever it is you got to do. This would be a good place. We got visitors. This would be a good time, Lord, for you to act out. Maybe you don't talk to the Lord that way. And we got things in our mind and in our eye that we think would be a good place for God. How many of you know that the Bible says that His ways are higher than ours? And His thoughts are higher than ours. For they are not the same as ours. God does not think like you. Thank you, Jesus. That God does not think like you and I think. Because we would even manipulate God. But if you wait on Him. Underneath the mulberry trees. If you just wait on Him. If you just have an ear. You see, David didn't busy himself doing other things while he was standing under those mulberry trees. David's ear was bent. Sounds strange, but we need to get some more bent-eared believers in the house. His ear was bent. He was waiting. He was listening on the Lord to move before him. When you read out the rest of that story, it began to move in the tops of the mulberry trees. And David bestirred himself. And what David found when he got down the hill was that the Lord had already gone before him. I need you to hear that for a second. The Lord had already put the enemy on the run. And David came up behind them while they were on the run. And smote him from Geba to Gezer. Did you hear me? Gezer, I think it is. Geba to Gezer. Can you hear David talking about it in the annals of his kingdom? We were chasing an enemy that was already on the run. That's big of you. We're missing the point. It was his God that had already put them on the run. And if you'll give God time and space and just wait on Him, He knows where your enemy is. And if you'll wait on the Lord, He'll put that enemy of yours on the run before you have to do anything. Do you hear me tonight? We have an enemy. We have an adversary. We know him. We know his ways. Now it's time we begin to act like children of the Most High God. And it's time we begin to present ourselves. Not that we're anything, because there's no ego here. I know I'm nothing. But I know that when I'm in Christ and I stand up and I say, "Thus saith the Lord." You've got to understand there's a power that begins to move. It doesn't even come from me. It comes from God. A power that is put into motion that becomes engaged into whatever the problem is. And I know you're here tonight, and I don't know what you're
difficulty is. And I don't know what it is that you're facing. But I know this. That if you're saved, you have an avenue to be able to call unto the God of all creation. And He will hear you when you pray. And when you begin to pray, thus saith the Lord, and you wait upon the Lord, God will begin working on your behalf, though you don't see it. But He'll begin working on your behalf. But if you listen closely, you'll hear it. What was David listening for? The rustling of the leaves. Something so insignificant. But because his ear was bent, the moment he began to hear the rustling of the leaves and the tops of the mulberry trees, he knew it was God. What are you listening for? We spend too much time trying to tell God how to answer our prayers. Instead of just waiting on Him and letting Him instruct us. Who'd have ever thought the man that was blind that would come to the Lord? Who would have ever thought? The Bible says he spit on his eyes. Oh, we're too dignified for that kind of thing now. That's the problem. We're too dignified. The Bible says that the Lord spit on his eyes. He prayed for him. At first he saw men as trees. And the Lord touched him again. And he saw everything just as clear as could be. God might ask you to do something unconventional. Something strange. Something weird. Don't be afraid to obey the Lord. Because you have an adversary that he's in the process of putting on the run. So I've come by tonight to tell you this, and you can stand all over this house. You'll have to forgive me, but another song comes to mind called "The Answer's on the Way." For the answer's on the way, this I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray. And you can rest assured, the answer's on the way. I got a million of them, I'm sorry. But it's good. God will hear us when we pray. And I want you to stop being the weak-kneed Christian that you have been for so long. And I want you to stop talking and stop giving prayer requests like you are just the hopeless of the hopeless. Because as long as you know the Lord, you are anything but hopeless. I'm going to ask you just right where you are to bow your heads. And I'm going to ask you to pray a particular prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray that God would help you to see who you are in Christ. Like He told Elisha's servant when they were surrounded by the enemy. Elisha said, God, would you open his eyes and let him see that they that are for us are more than they that are against us. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the Bible says he saw the mountains filled with horses and chariots of fire. It was the host of the Lord. And then blindness was called down upon their enemy. And they were able to escape. You say, yeah, but God doesn't work like that anymore. Oh, that's the problem. You just don't know Him. Because I'm here to tell you, He does still work that way. Because the Bible tells me that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He changes not. And what I want you to pray is that God will open your eyes to show you who you are in Christ. And then the second thing I want you to pray is that God will give you, the Bible says, Lord, strengthen them with might by the inner man, that is, by the Holy Spirit. And instead of being pushed around by the enemy with all of his problems that he has brought to your life, you can learn to bring down strongholds through the weapons of our warfare, which are mighty unto God.
Hallelujah.
And it begins with prayer. So if you will, pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, we're standing here. I am asking you, as you instructed me, to open their eyes that they may see. Open their eyes that they may see who they are in Christ. And that they would no longer fear what the enemy would do because they're in Christ. And then I'm asking you, God, to give them strength. Strengthen your people. Strengthen them with might by the inner man, that is, by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen every believer in this place tonight by the strength of your Holy Spirit inside as they stand in Christ. Strengthen them. That when they are brought into a room to pray, that when they are asked to lift up a prayer request, that the devil begins to fear and shake and tremble because he knows that they now realize who they are in Christ Jesus. Strength. Strength and might unto them, I pray. I pray for every weak believer, Lord. I pray for every oppressed individual. I pray for every depressed individual. I pray for every possessed individual. I don't care what troubles they have. I don't care what they amount to. But in the name of Jesus, we stand here tonight and we have come to take authority over all the power of the enemy in our life, over every adversary called the devil in our life. We claim it. We lay hold of it tonight and we take authority in Jesus' name. We will not be moved. We will not be shaken. We will not be in fear. We will not be in constraint. But we will go and we will tarry and we will wait upon the Lord. And the Lord will strengthen us in due time. For Jesus will hear me when I pray. I ask you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen and amen. Pastor.
You know this one, the move is on, brother, the move is on. For I've heard the rustling in the mulberry tree. Okay. The move is on. Yeah, never mind. I need our missionary Truan to come. We're going to, because the devil's waiting for him to get back there this August. And you know, the devil's waiting for him. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're coming anyway. We're coming. And come, brother. I'm just going to ask us to gather around him. Hallelujah. And his wife, Holly. That God would have his way. Come on. And Gaetano, can you lead us in prayer, please? And you can lead us in Italian if you want to.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your protection, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We help, Lord. We praise.